Hey, welcome to It's Just Life with mother-daughter combo, Karen and Gia. In this podcast, we'll chat about the ups and downs of life here on planet Earth. Come along for the ride.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining us today on It's Just Life. This is Karen, and we've made it to the third episode of our podcast, and I'm really excited and proud about that. And Gia, how are you doing? And tell us what you're up to.
And hey, everybody. This is Gia. I have been doing well. I feel like everything is happening so fast lately. I'm going through a lot of different transformations, and things are just happening suddenly and rapidly, and I'm really just trying to keep up with kind of like a calm, present attitude about it and letting things come and go and just taking things as they come. I've been switching my website over to Weebly, and I created a new website about my yoga services, and I really want to put more of a personal touch on that in my business and in my brand. And so I'm kind of like finessing that and trying to get some new yoga gigs for businesses. I want to teach breathwork and meditation to busy companies that need a break from the workday. So I'm just kind of pursuing all these things and getting more music gigs booked. And it's exciting. I feel like a lot of good things are coming my way, and I'm really opening myself to abundance wherever it shows up, even if it seems like it's showing up in a weird place. I'm just receiving, and it's fun. It's kind of fun to see like what the universe brings next. And that's what I like about being an entrepreneur, is the variety and the possibility and the openness of it. So I'm never bored. I never have a day that seems, each day is super different.
Yeah, that's cool. I can say the same. I really enjoy being an entrepreneur, but I am busier, I would say, each day than I ever was before when I had a 9-to-5 job in medicine. Though, you know, medicine's really stressful and challenging and has a lot to do during that day. But now I just have, it's like the variety of things that I do in a day is amazing, but I love it. I love that things change all the time. And I, like you, I've been updating my websites, trying to make them a little more modern, a little more user-friendly. I'm creating a new workshop. I'm preparing for 3 talks I'm giving next month. So I've got, and they're all 3 on really different subjects. So I have a lot of work to put those together and polish those and be all ready for that. But I'm really excited because it means I get to travel to St. Louis and Minneapolis for those talks.
So cool.
Excited for it. Yeah. So
when is that happening?
That is in the middle of May that I'm going on those, my little trip. I'm actually speaking in St. Louis, Minneapolis, and then Rochester, Minnesota. And
awesome.
Before I leave, I'm speaking in Denver one time too, like right before I go. So it's cool.
And are these talks about your book or other things?
Yeah, they're about my book or about other end of life subjects, but that are kind of related to my book. So they all ultimately tie into my book because as an entrepreneur, one of the ways I make money is by selling my book. So I figure out how every talk I give, even when they ask me about a specific subject, like somehow I'm going to get around to telling them why they should read my book, why it's important for this topic. So I've been pretty successful at that, but most of it, conferences I go to though are related, so it's not too hard to bring that in.
Right.
But I'm excited about that.
Yeah, that's great. I think we're both going through lots of different phases of creating things and then seeing how they work out, how it plays out, and seeing where we can become successful. And I think that's what we wanted to talk about today was the money thing as an entrepreneur and also as a spiritual conscious business person. How do you make money and feel comfortable and good about it? And how do you trust, you know, that the money is coming when you're an entrepreneur? That's such a big topic.
Yeah, for sure. And as we sit here and talk about, like, wow, all these great things are happening, but I can say, like, I have a lot of things going on, a lot of work to do, but I still don't make very much money doing the things that I do. So I put a lot of time and effort out, but the money end of it is a little more challenging and a little tougher for me.
Yeah, and as a yoga teacher, it's been really hard, especially I live in San Diego, and yoga here is just super saturated. I heard a statistic that there's over 20,000 certified yoga teachers in San Diego County.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and I bet there's more than that, too, that they didn't even get in the statistics. It's so overwhelmingly saturated that it's really frustrating as a yoga teacher to be giving your services and giving your heart and soul. And it's a lot of energy. It's physical energy, it's emotional energy, and spiritual energy. And to only be paid and compensated in such a small way at a lot of places, at a lot of studios and gyms, it's really exhausting and really draining. So I'm trying to be smart about how I teach yoga and place myself in situations where I have the opportunity to be compensated in a way that I really feel like I value myself. And it's tricky, you know?
Yeah. Oh, totally is. And I think also, besides being a yoga teacher, you are a singer-songwriter. just like I'm an author writing books. And, you know, putting songs out, that doesn't make very much money. Putting books out into the world doesn't bring in very much money either, because in our society, artists are not very well compensated either.
Yeah. Like we both, I mean, I chose two career paths, and neither one is very likely to have a stable income, music and yoga. But they are totally my passions, and I am undertaking the journey and the path with a lot of trust and faith that I am taking care of, and trusting in my abundance, even when it seems like it seems scary and it seems like I might not have enough. When I really look around, it's like I truly have what I need. I even have what I would like to have. You know, I can do what I want to do. And I trust that more gifts, more blessings, and more abundance is on the way. And that's something I really want to work on, because I don't want to choose a career path out of fear, mm-hmm. you know, as a reason to, oh, I just need this career because it makes me money. I believe in a universe where we are all abundant. It's just a matter of tapping into that.
Yeah, and you stay in this creative mindset, too, where you can use your gifts in creative ways to bring in more money than just the standard ways of, oh, I'll sell a song for 99 cents on iTunes. But, you know, other mm-hmm. ways of using your talents and using your gifts to bring money in, like
yeah,
teaching group classes and corporate yoga classes and performing in different venues, things like that.
Yeah, you do have to be really creative and place yourself in situations where you are of high value. And also, we've talked about this before, how important it is to, like, narrow down your niche and get really specific with what it is that you're teaching or what your message is and who your audience is, because that is something super unique to you that no one else can replicate. And the more specific you are, the more likely it is that your audience can find you and then compensate you with the high-value content that you're providing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's something I realize I have a little trouble with, because I am – is it Vata? Is that what you told me I am?
Yeah.
In? Mm-hmm. So which kind of means I'm spacey and I'm a little bit all over the place. So the idea of – focusing in on a niche is, it's hard for me, because I want to go in this direction and that direction, but I have this idea out there and I could also do that. And I have a lot of knowledge and information in my head and a lot of different skills and different wisdom that I can bring. So for me, I really struggle to narrow down and focus in on just one thing. I'm constantly bouncing off to something different, but I totally recognize that narrowing in is what I need to do and get a lot of clarity about one message instead of having 10 messages.
Well, I am such a fan of simplicity that that's my natural tendency is to get rid of clutter and complexity and simplify and pare things down to something that's easy. But again, that's really hard, and I can't say I have mastered that at all with my career path. I think right now I'm kind of in a trial and error phase of, okay, I got an inspiration for this project. I'm going to try it out, and I'm going to put it out there and then wait and receive and listen and see how do people respond? How do I feel about it? How does the process go? And then if that doesn't work out, try something new. I had an inspiration for this other thing, this other project, this other job. And so I'm really just like trying out a whole bunch of different things, seeing what flows for me. And sometimes there is this magical response. Sometimes you'll suddenly get a ton of energy back to you for a certain project, and there's automatically an audience right there, and that's when you know you kind of hit your jackpot. Like I did a 7-day positivity challenge. And I had done challenges on Facebook before. Like I did a meditation challenge. I did a sobriety challenge. And I had sent it out to my email list and Facebook and everything. And those were all very minimally received and participated in. And this positivity challenge, it went viral in a small way. And suddenly there were 5,000 people invited who I had never interacted with, and I was like, wow, that's when you hit on this stream of energy flowing in a certain direction, and if you can tap into that, you can ride it, you know. And that was cool to see. I'd like to try to recreate that someday.
Yeah, because you tapped into a need in our society at that moment, the need for positivity, and it was a need that you yourself were feeling, and you responded to that by creating a challenge that would help you feel more positive.
Yep.
And it turned out that you weren't the only person in that place. So that's kind of a good reminder is that sometimes our intuition comes to us as something that we ourselves are lacking. I mean, something that we need in order to feel better. That's actually our intuition pushing us. Because you created what would help you, and it helped a ton of other people.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a blessing to be a part of it. And I did feel like it was beyond me. Like, although I was a channel for creating it, the inspiration and the result was beyond me. And it was cool to just watch it unfold with little doing on my part. You know, I just kind of put it out there, and then it had a life of its own. And that's really exciting when you find something like that. So I'm kind of continually I'm trying to listen to what people need, what people are wanting, and see if I can help provide that and help be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's exactly the way to go. And you do have to let it keep arising in each moment. It's like whatever comes up next is the next thing to look at and to do. And you may not be able to even predict today what you're going to be doing or working on 2 weeks from now. You just have to be open and see what comes to you.
Yep.
But I was thinking about, you know, it's actually as I sit here and I listen to myself talking about, you know, the speaking I'll be doing in May and how exciting that is. And thinking, wow, you know, that sounds like I'm really successful. Yet I almost never think of myself as being very successful. I never really see that about myself. I never really label myself as being successful because I almost always look outside of me and I see other people who are doing similar work, who are making a lot more money, who are getting a lot more attention and getting noticed. Maybe they're selling a lot more books and I see them as being successful, but I don't see myself in that same light.
Yeah, and I think from the outside, you know, other people as well as me, we do view you as successful in your own way because we don't actually know what's going on in your bank account, you know, and what you're receiving. But it's kind of the energy you present is that I'm qualified to do this and I'm good at it and I enjoy it. And I think maybe the money thing comes down to a personal belief about money. And you might be successful and abundant without even being able to appreciate it, you know?
Yeah, that's really true. It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, sometimes I think the pitfalls come from looking from the outside at what other people seem to have and making comparisons and then judging based on those comparisons, but none of that's really valid. It doesn't really matter what anyone else is doing or what they have or what they've earned, you know, from a spiritual sense, that's not really important.
Right. And I think even for people who do seem to have a lot of wealth, I think we know that still money comes and money goes, and no matter how much you do have in your bank account, it doesn't mean you aren't afraid of losing it, or it doesn't mean you don't believe you're not abundant, that you know, it doesn't guarantee you to feel comfortable or to trust in your financial success or abundance or anything, no matter how much you have. So it really is a mindset you have to work on.
Yeah, don't you think that's a trap we fall into often, is that we assume that other people who seem to have more than we have are also happier than we have, than we are, or life is easier, or they're having an easier path than we have, and
totally.
We judge whether or not they deserve that. Like, well, you know, look at that person. Look at the woman who wrote 50 Shades of Grey, like that sold 20 million copies. Like, she's super rich now, selling multiple books and movie rights for kind of trashy, poorly written books that she puts out there. And it's easy to judge that as like, how does she deserve that? How does she deserve that to happen? And why then doesn't something even, you know, even a fraction of that, why can't that happen for me, for the types of books that I put out there in the world?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of spiritually minded people who are really working on themselves tend to think, I'm such a good person because I work on myself all the time and I try to help the world and be loving and be kind toward others, and yet I'm not compensated for that with wealth. And then it seems like there's assholes out there who are rich. And why is it that they're not the best people, but they seem to be wealthy and happy? And that I've heard some people kind of, you know, mention that and feel that way.
Yeah, I think that's a theme I've been hearing a lot of lately, as I see more and more people who are kind of waking up to a spiritual path and trying to live a more spiritual life, and then feeling confused or disappointed because it seems like they're not being rewarded somehow for choosing a spiritual life. But that goes back to what we talked about in one of our previous podcasts about believing in a cause and effect universe, that if I do this, then this should happen. If I, like, life is a vending machine and I put my quarter in and why didn't I get something back from it? I think that's what trips us up a lot of times and can make us feel discouraged about our own path, because it looks like we're not getting out of it what we had hoped we would get or what we think we deserve to get.
Right. And we realize we don't have control like we thought we did or like we wanted.
Yeah.
And I think the trick, too, with that is recognizing if you are a person who considers yourself spiritual or working on your evolution of consciousness and trying to be a great person, and you wonder why you aren't receiving like some other people are who may not be as conscious, who may not be as evolved as you. Remember that that also can be a trap of the ego, because a spiritual-minded ego could believe, because I'm spiritual, I'm better than others, and mm-hmm. so I deserve more wealth. And I think that's a tricky
trap
to fall into, too, is recognizing that we're all on our journeys, going about it in different ways, and everyone has their relative struggle, and everyone has their relative success too. And to kind of humble ourselves is really powerful and say, like, I don't know what that person is suffering with. And I recognize that, I'm not better than them. I'm not better than them. I don't know what their journey is.
Yeah. And sometimes one thing I do, like if I'm falling into that trap of self-pity, like, oh, I wrote a wonderful spiritual book and hardly anyone buys it. Like, why is that fair? When, 50 Shades of Grey sold 20 million copies, just to keep harping on that example. Obviously I have an issue, don't I? Because I keep bringing that up. but what I do is turn it around in my mind and say, well, what would have happened if my book had sold 20 million copies the first week after I would have written it? I would have taken the money and put it in the bank, and I would have stopped doing any other work. I wouldn't have written any other books. I probably would have just let go of a lot of the work that I'm doing. And I realized, like, that wasn't the path that was meant for me. I was meant to do more than just write one book. And it wouldn't have made sense for me to have that book blow up in a way that would have derailed me from this path, this whole journey that I've been on. And that in some ways it's been this organic, slowly growing process of putting pieces together and creating more and more things and doing more writing and putting more things out there for the world. And it's all been fueled by the fact that I didn't have overnight success with that first book. It all makes sense now in a way that this is how it was meant to be. I was meant to keep going and keep working at it, to keep putting things together. And this is the path that I'm on. And I don't need to feel sorry for myself, because this is a great path. And I can feel, like you said, abundant with the path that I have and being where I am.
Yeah. That brings me back to one of my favorite words lately, one of my favorite themes that I'm working on, which is trust. And you have to have so much trust that you're being watched over, you are being guided through the journey. And so the things that come to you are meant for you, even if you can't explain it right away. So the fact that your first book wasn't successful, it wasn't a bestseller, you're not on Oprah yet, trusting that is an important part of the journey, and really letting go, really surrendering to the process is so empowering. I mean, that's like true freedom, is letting go of your expectations, your attachment to the outcome, and knowing that I'm putting this out in the most pure way possible with all of my heart, and I really trust whatever the result is. And I think when we surrender that much, that's kind of when a lot of the blessings and magic can happen, because we've let go of our control, and then we can just step into the flow and let it take us. And that is abundance. Abundance doesn't always look like you're a billionaire. Abundance looks like you're constantly in the flow and things are coming to you, surprising things are coming to you. Mm-hmm. And little miracles happen and little blessings happen. And then, of course, setbacks happen. I think that's an important part of abundance, too, is you have an abundant opportunity to grow and to remind yourself to let go and trust the process.
Yeah, exactly. And then be able to find peace and contentment with the path that you're on. Love your own path and love where you are, and be happy for others that they're on their paths, and whatever comes to them comes to them, and that's fantastic that they're getting whatever they're getting from life on their path. But love where you are on your own path.
I wanted to share a quote, if I could, mm-hmm. from Matt Kahn, who, if you don't know Matt Kahn, he is an amazing spiritual teacher. He does a lot of public speaking and turns those talks, he films them and puts them on YouTube. And he's been so pivotal in our spiritual growth, right, Mom?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he is wonderful. So check him out if you don't know who he is, Matt Kahn, K-A-H-N. I read this quote by him, and when this theme came up, I went and found it because I love what he said about this. So this is Matt Kahn. While many beings seem to be successful prior to becoming their most loving self, it is but a cosmic setup that leads to an existential realization that all the money and success in the world cannot create the wholeness that comes to life through our oneness with divinity. When spiritual alignment comes before worldly successes, we are able to honor each triumph as manifestations of our connection with spirit without creating attachments to the things that naturally come and go. As the old paradigm collapses and a new era of humanity dawns, success, fame, prosperity, and power will only be accessible to the degree of one's alignment in love and expansion of consciousness.
So I really like that he's describing what we were talking about, that there are different paths to the same end, and each one of us has to just be on the path that we're on. And we can always look at someone else's path and think, wow, that looks easier than what I'm doing. That looks better. They have more. They got more out of it, and they're not working as hard. But that's all false. Those are just false concerns of the ego. Every path is valid, no matter how it's leading people where they're going.
Yes, I love that you said that. Every path is valid, and we have to remember that and trust the path we're on. And maybe you've had other lifetimes where you were the one who was wealthy and famous and prosperous, and you had to try to reach divinity through that angle in a past life. And now in this life, you're reaching it through the eye of small successes and, you know, reaching closeness with your divinity before you get all of this abundance and wealth and prosperity.
So, well, it just struck me that, like, centuries ago, people on a spiritual path oftentimes lived in monasteries or convents, like they went, or in caves somewhere. Like, they lived really abstemious lives that were totally devoted to spiritual growth, and they weren't trying to even live in the everyday world. And we are trying to do both. That is the new paradigm, is that we are on spiritual paths. We're working on our spiritual development, and we're living in the everyday world at the same time, where we have to make a living, and we have to put food on the table and pay our bills. And so it is a new paradigm. It really is. We're sort of forging a new path of discovering how to be spiritual beings on a spiritual path, who also have to sit down with an Excel spreadsheet and and figure out, you know, budget our money and figure out how we're going to get things paid for. So it is kind of interesting and new, and there aren't necessarily a lot of role models for us from the past of how spiritual beings did this in past years.
Yeah, I think we really are pioneering this new paradigm of putting those things together, a spiritual life devoted to a connection to the divine while also living in society among people who live very different journeys. And one thing that just occurred to me is that the universe has a natural tendency to balance itself. So there's yin and yang, and it makes sense that there would be people who find an abundant wealth and prosperity who may not have an abundance of spiritual awareness. And on the other side of the coin, there's people with a lot of spiritual awareness and maybe not the earthly wealth and abundance. And it just occurred to me that that's kind of cool. And if you're really open to and trust that every person has their path, we're here to work together. Maybe we can co-create a little bit more and honor each other for what each other has. And maybe the spiritually minded person helps the not so spiritually minded person along with their growth. You know, we are healers, we are teachers, we are speakers, we're writers. And yet the people who have just kind of automatic, it's so it seems, abundance and wealth can help us to touch the world, you know, and create projects and use their financial abundance to get the message out into the world and share it. Maybe there's more of a co-creative thing than we realize.
I really like that idea, and it fits with, you know, Matt was saying in the new paradigm, success will be determined by love, by living a life of love and wholeness. And it's not just love and wholeness within our own individual beings, but love and wholeness for the all, for everyone, that we all come together in love, and we as a whole society create abundance together, as you said, co-create together abundance for everyone. I like that idea.
Yeah, and I think we can all look at it as like we're on a mission. We each have a very specific individual mission in this life, and I think to figure out what your mission is, you have to go deeper and deeper into your heart, into your soul, and to your connection with the divine, and follow that path. And by following your specific mission, you are filling in a very important piece to the puzzle. So it doesn't really matter what anyone else does, as long you don't have to worry about what anyone else is doing, and you don't have to be like anyone else. You have to follow your heart and go deeper into your personal journey and your mission and really trust that and have faith in that. And by nature of being so perfectly, uniquely you, you are co-creating with the planet and creating healing and abundance and an evolved consciousness for all. And trust that even the people who may not be as spiritually minded as you or may not be their most loving self yet, as Matt would say, they are also playing a role. And you can love them just so, and you can help them with what they need because they may help you as well.
Yeah, and as you were saying that, it just occurred to me that just for me in my own story, that the way I discovered the purpose that I'm living out now in working on end-of-life issues came through the tragedy of my dad's suicide. And so it was that pain and that loss and the brokenness that I experienced after my dad's death that became the impetus for me as I put the pieces together to find the work that I'm doing now. And so that sometimes our purpose and our path becomes is revealed to us through the pain that we have and through loss and through suffering. That's actually how we end up finding the path. So we should never, we should never diminish or downplay our losses as being something negative that should never have happened to us, because those might be the very instigators of the path, the very openings of the path that we're meant to be on for the future.
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of the seeds that we plant, and the basis for our growth is all the experiences we've had, and especially the ones that really were traumatic and cut us deep. It's such fertile ground for then planting something beautiful to rise out of that.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to remember, and we've talked about this before, that this is such a process, this life, this just life that we're living, that while we have insights in some moments and it's like, oh my gosh, this all makes sense, I totally get it now, like within a day or two, or sometimes even an hour or two, we may suddenly lose all of that insight and we won't see it so clearly. And we may go back down a little bit into our little hole of darkness that we then have to dig our way out of again. And that part of the process is to have lots of ups and downs. And that's all normal on the journey.
Yeah, totally. And just being there for each other and there for ourselves with a little bit of extra love when we're having a downturn on the journey is so important, to feel like you have support, whether your own tools or your community and people around you. I mean, I've been so lucky to have a mom like you, Mom, so that we can connect and be on this journey together, because we often reflect so much of what we're going through, and it turns out that we have a lot of interesting things to share and ways that we can help each other. So it's been such a blessing.
Yeah, and I think that's important for everyone to look around and see who is your companion on this journey, who's going through something similar, or who can totally understand what's happening for you, because it is wonderful to be able to share it and wonderful to get the insights of another person and to be able to see through their eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I wanted to share a couple other things about abundance that are nice to focus on when it does feel like you're not really getting the benefits out of your work and not being compensated the way you would like to. So there's a couple of points out of this book I'm reading that I really liked. One of them is that you need to bloom where you are planted. So just because you want to be a famous musician and singer someday, and right now you work as a dishwasher at a restaurant, doesn't mean that that's in any way wrong. And in fact, you treat your dishwashing job as God's work with all of your love and all of your intention in this moment, because it's where you are now. This is where you're planted. And so if you bloom here where you are, that sort of fast tracks you to the next step. And you might suddenly find yourself getting a raise or getting a new job, or suddenly the restaurant you work at wants to hire you to do music there. I think when you embrace where you are and really bloom there, you quickly grow larger than that pot and can be transplanted to a bigger pot. So again, that comes back to trusting where you are on your path and knowing this is totally meant to be, and I'm exactly in the right place at the right time, and then having a curiosity about how that's going to unfold next. So I like that one. And
I
also
love that.
Gratitude. Yeah. And also gratitude is an expansive attitude. So they say that gratitude increases the flow of abundance, and the more grateful you are, the more you draw things to you to be grateful for. So I really like that one. Like, even little simple things like, I can afford to pay my electric bill this month. Wow, I'm so grateful that I have that much abundance. Or, you know, I'm so grateful that I can afford to give a few dollars to this homeless man on the street. That is amazing that I can share this love, even a small amount, with someone else. Focusing on gratitude, even in small ways, constantly puts you in that space of feeling abundant as opposed to feeling lack. Because I think the more you focus on lack, the more you make choices and put energy into how much you lack. And all that you really see around you in your universe and in your reality is that you lack. It's a choice to put energy into that or not. And when you put energy into focusing on your abundance and focusing on your gratitude, it's amazing how things start to flow to you more.
Mm-hmm. And so in my case, it would mean being grateful for every single book that I have sold, being grateful that I had the opportunity to get my book out to people instead of counting all the books I haven't sold and comparing with someone else who might have sold more, being grateful and thankful for that every single book that I've sold that I was able to put it out and I was able to receive money back for every single one.
Yeah, totally. It's really like the glass is half full or a glass is half empty perspective. The way you choose to look at the same situation could be opposite, mm-hmm. opposite energy, opposite feeling. And for me, I'm at a point, I'm kind of going through my Saturn return right now. I'm 27, and if you haven't heard of Saturn's return, it's in astrology. They say that it takes about 27 years for Saturn to make one orbit in the sky. And so Saturn returns to where it was when you were born, about age 27, and then every 27 years after that as well. Hmm. And it can be a time for deep inner reflection and kind of rebirthing. And so I feel like I'm going through that right now and seeing if I can – I feel a lot of shift taking place with my career focus. And I always get caught up really trying to figure it out and mentally know what's going to happen next and what my purpose is and what the path is going to be. And I get really frustrated trying to answer all those questions. And what I can focus on instead of what I don't know is what I do know. What I do know is that I love writing this song right now today. What I do know is that I really enjoyed teaching meditation on my YouTube channel, or I really enjoyed connecting with this one student in my private lesson. Focusing on what is going well, what I am grateful for, what I do know in my heart, really helps to disintegrate away all those other questions about what I don't know yet.
Hmm.
So I think that's another kind of perspective shift that can help bring to light more of what you do know, more of who you are, more of what you do love to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really wonderful. And I was thinking that at one point in my life, I used to keep a gratitude journal. I don't know if you do that at all, Gia, but I used to, like, either at the beginning of the day or end of the day, I would write down things that I'm grateful for to help me focus more on gratitude. And I think that could be really valuable too, to keep taking that perspective of what can I be grateful for that happened today, rather than what went wrong today and what do I feel bad about today, but what can I be grateful for, and always finding those little nuggets and those little gems in every single day.
Yeah, that's so important, because it's a good habit to get into, and it takes on a life of its own. I just remembered when you brought that up, somebody once taught me a little practice to do at the end of the day. I think it might be this teacher, this spiritual teacher, Sarah Avant Stover. She's awesome. And I was just looking in my journal now to see what it was. She says at the end of every day, you can write down in your journal the four G's. First one is gratitude, what you're grateful for from the day. Second one is good, what good things happened in the day. Third one is glitches, you know, what was sticky, what was tricky for you. And the fourth one is goals. So what are your goals for tomorrow? So I thought that was so cute, the four G's. What are you grateful for? What was good that happened? What were the glitches? And what are your goals? I really like that reflection.
I like that a lot too, and I like the fact that she includes glitches so that we don't run the risk that we're going to try to gloss over the fact that not everything goes smoothly every day, and sometimes our glitches actually have as much to teach us as the things that have gone well, or even more. So I love that.
Oh, yeah.
Glitch is one of the G's.
Yeah, there's so much insight involved in what was a glitch for you, because you start to notice maybe patterns like, huh, my glitches always revolve around this emotion or this type of relationship or this habit or whatever it might be. So it's cool to reflect on that, but then also spend a good amount of energy continuing to focus on what you're grateful for. And the more you do it, the more you kind of Sorry.
Your throat has a glitch.
I'm glitching.
Yeah.
I think the more you connect to, or the more, like, every day you write down what you're grateful for, you run out of, you slowly run out of things that are obvious. Like, oh, I'm grateful for some, you know. And then you start have to be, you have to be creative to think of, like, little obscure things you're grateful for. And then you start to feel grateful for even the glitches. You might feel like, oh, I'm so grateful that that went wrong so that I could take a step back and calm down and love myself deeper and let go of this, whatever, you know, this attachment. So
I really like that.
I like that. You have to get creative about your gratitude and start to be grateful for absolutely everything.
Yeah, yeah, that's very cool. I know sometimes now, rather than list specific things I'm grateful for, I write at the end of my journaling for the day, in the bottom margin, I write, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I just spend some time in that, like, just feeling, I'm just so grateful for everything. And no matter what I've written in this journal, because I might have complained a bit or whined about things in my journal entry, but I'm still so grateful and so thankful that I get to be here. I get to be alive this day. I get to experience everything. Everything that's coming to me.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful way to wake up in the morning and to go to bed at night. Just thank you, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, on that note, like, I'm feeling really thankful that we have this opportunity to create this podcast because it's so much fun. You know, we don't often even know where our conversations are going to end up, and it's really fun. Like, literally the whole conversation unfolds as we're sitting here having this conversation. And Gia, you're such a fun partner to talk to and just to mull over these thoughts and ideas with.
Yeah, you too, Mom. I'm glad we're doing this and can share with everybody out there and hopefully hear back from you too about, you know, your journey and what you're going through, because we're all here for each other.
Yeah, and I'm thankful for all of you out there listening in and joining us in this usually pretty crazy journey of life that we're going through, and you make it all possible, because we wouldn't be putting a podcast out there if we didn't have an audience to listen to it. So I'm grateful for everyone who's tuning in and sharing in our conversations with us by listening. And as Gia said, leave comments for us or let us know what's going on for you in your life. And remember, you can reach Gia through her website, which is divinelygia.com, right?
Yep.
And I'm at KarenWyattMD.com. And links to those websites will be on the show notes for our for the podcast. So you can go to itsjustlifepodcast.com and find the notes for each episode, and you'll find links to our website and other cool stuff there. And maybe we'll try to put some links to a Matt Kahn video, and so you can check that out too.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Well, guys, thanks for listening, and can't wait to chat with you next time.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure to have you join us here on It's Just Life. Take care until next week when we get together again. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to It's Just Life podcast. Be sure to tune in to our weekly episodes, share them with your friends, and leave us a comment. Until next time, remember, it's just life.